You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Howdy, hour number two here on Tiki and Tierney, coming alive for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio, the Tiki and Tierney Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So we told you we're going to pump the golf to hour number two. It is time now to receive that punt and start talking some golf. And we'll do that with the great Jimmy Roberts, who is in Northern Ireland, day one of the Open Championship, yielding all sorts of results. Some legends just knocked to their knees, some upstarts really flashing. And Jimmy's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, great NBC reporter. Jimmy, how are you today, buddy?
What's up, guys? Always a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, no, it's really good to have you. Obviously, a time difference, and you're hustling, of course, doing your job. So we appreciate you carving out some time. Let me start with this here, Jimmy. We got a little bit of everything. I mean, we got a 66, got a 67, got 13 68s, leaderboard peppered with big names, Koepka, Sergio's playing well. But really, the first shot for Rory and Tiger, and I don't think this is an overstatement, the first shot of the day for both, it was obvious the tracks were, or the train was off the tracks. Tiger, I expected. What happened to Rory McIlroy today?
You know, I talked to Rory after the round, and I asked him specifically, is it possible to want something too much? And he said no, but, you know, I think a lot of golfers will tell you that when you miss because you're anxious and you're a right-handed golfer, you're going to miss left because that means maybe you're a little twitchy. And for those who didn't see it, I mean, this guy holds the course record here. He shot 61 as a 16-year-old. He had his first shot out of bounds left. So he re-tees, so he's hitting his third, hits that into the rough, hits his fourth shot into a lie that's unplayable, ends up with a quadruple bogey on his first hole. And in essence, his week is over after one hole. So, I mean, it was shocking. I don't really think there's any way you could call it anything else. I mean, he did battle back. I think he got it to two over par. Now the thing is going to be, we're going to have to see if he's going to be able to make the cut, which I don't think anybody had really ever thought was going to be something we were talking about.
That's incredible. And Jimmy, I was watching the interview live when, and listen, he was incredibly classy. He was a pro's pro. The way he comported himself with you. And it's funny, you referenced the question that I wanted to bring up. You asked him whether or not he wanted it too much. And, you know, sometimes you do an interview, I know you're clearly paying attention, but I don't know if you caught this because I did as a viewer. He started to say, you know, maybe other people wanted it more for me than I did. And I'm like, wow, that's an interestingly, maybe too candid of an admission. And I'm asking the question, does Rory McIlroy, does he still aspire to be the best golfer in the world? It doesn't always seem like he does.
No, I don't think there's any question that he wants to be the best golfer in the world. Listen, I had a couple of people say this to me today after that interview, is that maybe what he needs to be is more of a jerk. But he's a really well-balanced human being. You know, as he's walking out and I thanked him for coming, he says, listen, you know, I got a great family. I'm disappointed about today, but I'm going to go visit with my family and friends. That's a pretty, you know, evolved way to think about this. And I have to tell you guys, I've talked to enough elite athletes to understand that, you know, it's a pretty intense thing that they do, whatever it is they do, and you burn pretty hot. And you know, I just think he's one of the more balanced people in this game that I've ever been around. You know, maybe he needs to be more of a jerk. I've heard people say that. Of course, I'm glad he's not every time I'm the person who's charged with the responsibility of talking to him.
Yeah, I hear you. That's Jimmy Roberts, a great talent, great reporter, longtime NBC Sports. Jimmy out there, Royal Portrush, contributing to the Golf Channel and NBC Live, their live tournament coverage of the 148th Open Championship Thursday through Sunday. Got live coverage around 2, beginning on the Golf Channel at 1:30 a.m. Eastern, all the way up until 4 p.m. Eastern. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Jimmy, it's been 68 years since Royal Portrush had hosted the Open Championship. We didn't know a lot about it. I had never seen it. I'm seeing it for the first time. It looks actually great. What's it like out there in person? person live for us that are across the pond? What's it like to be there?
TJ, I got to tell you something. So I was out on the course today, and I ran into two guys who have caddied between them in close to 40 Open championships. One of them told me it's the best Open venue he's ever been to. The other one told me, and he's a guy who has a little bit more experience than the other guy, he said it's immediately in the top five golf courses that he has ever seen.
Wow.
It's a spectacular place. I remember I came here first in 1995 when they held the Senior Open here, the Senior British Open here. And it's really hard to describe. I mean, how do you describe the color blue? How do you describe a great song? You know, what you see here is just pretty special. And I think that, you know, the golf course, the lay of the land, it's really unusual. The town is just a really charming little place. You know, it's up on, you know, the end of the earth. It's just a very cool place. They've only held the Open Championship outside of Scotland and England twice in 148 years. Both of those times it was held here. The last time they held it here was 1951, and a guy named Max Faulkner won. Interestingly enough, when they held that Senior British Open in 1995 here, mm-hmm. his son-in-law won.
Oh, wow.
So, wow. It's just a cool place. I don't know how to describe it in any other way than that.
Yeah.
I'm glad I get a chance to see it again.
Yeah,
I'm glad this is a place I get to earn a paycheck.
Yeah, exactly. You're one of the lucky ones. Well, the weather, I think, is unpredictable always at the Open Championship. There was a lot of rain before. Got a good day today. What's it supposed to be like for the rest of the week and weekend? And who does that benefit if it gets a little sideways?
Well, I got to tell you, so today a friend of mine texted me and said, "What's the weather like over there?" And I said, I have used my umbrella and my sunglasses about equal amounts of time today walking the golf course. And I think that's basically what it's about. We had rain all day the other day, 2 days ago. But I think it's supposed to basically be like this. So you just, you know, don't know what you're going to get. That's number one. Number two, who does it benefit? It always, when there's bad weather, it always benefits those who are playing well. Because those who are not playing well are going to struggle more.
Yeah.
And those who are playing well, they're going to get separated away. I will say this. There are a couple of interesting things about this. These are probably the slowest greens that these guys will play maybe all year. I mean, forget about a major championship. They're 10 on what they call the stimp meter, which is a measurement of speed.
They're 10?
Normally on the PGA Tour, they play them, 10, yeah.
Wow, that is slow.
Normally, you won't find a PGA Tour event that's played at any slower than 12.
No.
And that's a big difference.
Oh, that's crazy.
So there's that. The fairways are wide. Jim Furyk told me today, we were just chatting about this course, because so many guys are seeing this for the first time ever. He said, you know, it's incredibly fair. So, you know, if you play well, you get rewarded here. You know, there are major championships where people feel... And I think basically it's fair to say it's happened at the U.S. Open where, you know, you can play well and not walk away with the results you deserve. I think that's not going to be the case here. I think you're basically going to reap what you sow.
Nice, nice. So there's no, like, par three at Shinnecock where they got to come out and water the green and it's utterly unfair like they had to do under Steve Goosen in, what was that, 04, whatever it was, 03, 04. None of that stuff is
exactly.
You're saying, right, Jimmy?
No, and, you know, the thing is, it's first of all, it's a different ball game over here, PT. The deal is that, you know, because the weather plays such a big part in the way these golf courses play, they need to leave room for the wind to really, really blow, because the wind blows a lot as it is.
Mm-hmm.
And if you make these greens too fast and the wind blows, you'll have a complete disaster, not on one green, but on all of them.
Makes sense.
So
yeah.
They err on the side of being conservative. And, you know, the end result is that, you know, if you're playing well, you can shoot a score here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Well, I think it's probably safe to say that David Duval is not going to come back and win this event. And, listen, the last thing I'm trying to do is pile on a guy who at one point was the number one player in the world, and I think he does a great job. We've had him on the show. I like him on the Golf Channel. I think he's fascinating to listen to because where he was and where he is, it's the exact polar opposites. But I got to bring this up, and I don't know how you're going to answer this, and I don't know what the solution is. He's got the exemption until the age of 60 by virtue of his win. I believe it was Royal Lithium when he won his Open Championship. Today he shoots a 91, yeah. As I said, 6 bogeys, a 7, an 8, a 14. Now, I don't know who was paired up with David Duval, but if I'm playing with a guy and I'm trying to win or make a cut and a guy's shooting a 91, that's just utterly unacceptable. Don't you think they need to, as the hitters get longer, I think it's getting tougher to have these guys with these almost lifelong exemptions still come out, compete, and try to win. Is there something in between, a middle ground solution? Because you can't have this. You can't have this in pro golf.
Yeah, but listen, I think it's gonna self-govern because I believe me, he doesn't want to come out here and do that either. So I think, you know, I actually saw him last night. I don't really have an answer for you on that one. I can't imagine he's going to want to come back and do this again, you know. So I think it's kind of going to be a self-governing situation. But
it's tough to watch.
Listen, this happens. Guys shoot big numbers. Really, really big numbers. Not generally a 91 by the guy who was a former number one player in the world. I don't have an explanation for that. Like you said, certainly don't know if I have an answer. But I don't know if there's any way you can legislate this. So I think it's just going to have to be chalked up to one of those really, truly unfortunate happenstances.
Yeah. No, Jimmy, I don't know if you got a chance to talk to Tiger Woods while you were out there, but he also had a rough day. Plus 7, 78 on the round. He was scuffling at some points. The easiest hole I was watching before I started to come into work, he bogeyed it. What do you see from Tiger?
He's what? You know, what is he? I may have this wrong. He's 43 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, I think his body's been through the ringer. Tiki, you know, I mean, you know what it's like to compete when your body doesn't behave the same way, you know, today as it did, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago. And he's had, how many surgeries has he had? He didn't look comfortable. He referenced it after the round. He said that, he wasn't feeling terribly comfortable. I think the problem with Tiger is that our expectations are so unrealistic. Look, he won the Masters, which was magnificent. But you have to understand what the Masters is. Tiger has always struggled with his driving accuracy. And I actually have the notes somewhere in my backpack. But if you go back and look, he has struggled with his driving accuracy. You don't have to drive the ball terribly accurately at Augusta National. He has got an enormous, enormous amount of confidence and local knowledge at Augusta National. So I think that we shouldn't be shocked that that happened. It was one for the ages, but this is a different ball game. And the U.S. Open, a different ball game, who has the challenges that Tiger does. And the same with the PGA Championship. And I think that what happened, and I probably said this on your show before, Tiger Woods ruined golf. Now, what I mean by that is that he came along and made us think that what he was doing was normal. It's not normal.
Yeah.
It was like he was like from another planet. You know, golfers lose. You know, we say that a Hall of Famer in baseball is somebody who fails 7 out of 10 times because they're a career 300 hitter. Think about Jack Nicklaus. Jack Nicklaus won 20-something percent of the time. That's the greatest golfer of all time. Well, Tiger Woods, you know, came along and started to win 8, 9, 10 times in a year, a couple of majors, and his winning percentage was in the 30s. He did things that, you know, nobody had done either forever or, you know, only rarely in history. And people who were new to the game, totally compelled by it, looked at it and said, oh, that's the way this is. No, that's not the way this is. He was Halley's Comet. And I think that we need to be much, much more realistic. And especially, you know, on the heels of what he did this year, I think it kind of rekindled a lot of people's feelings about, oh, he's back. He'll just do what he did before. And it's really not the way it works.
No, it's not. That's Jimmy Roberts, NBC. Jimmy, just 15, 20 seconds. We've got to go. I know you've got to do some things as well. We've got a -5, a -4. We have 12 3-under pars. Winning score, higher or lower than 15 under par? Which way would you go right now, knowing what you know and seeing what you've seen?
It's going to be higher than 15 under par. I mean, my guess would be somewhere around 10 to 11, something like that.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. Jimmy, great stuff. Appreciate it. Go grab a pint or two, actually.
All right, guys. Always good to be with you.
Likewise.
Pleasure.
Be good, Jimmy.
There you go. Jimmy, of course, contributing to Golf Channel, NBC's live tournament coverage, the 148th Open Championship, Thursday through Sunday, live coverage round two on the Golf Channel at 1:30 a.m. Eastern, all the way up until 4 Eastern tomorrow. So what? It's on, you know. I would probably go a little higher than minus 10 or minus 11. You know, yeah, somebody.
So much depends on the weather.
Exactly. But this, you can't really predict. I just wanted to get a sense of knowing what he knows.
Especially because he's out there.
Exactly.
And he's feeling it.
All right. And by the way, the point about Tiger, you know, and you saw that. You know, that's one thing. You have to go and see this again. It's all over Twitter. It's all over social media. His first tee shot, an iron on the first hole. It's not. He didn't grimace because I'm in the rough. He grimaced because his body changed on him. You saw that, and you looked at me during the interview.
I did.
We were off camera. Jimmy's bio was up. Look at this right there.
Look,
that's not normal.
We have a short segment in our next segment. Let's think about this. Let's talk about this, BT.
Yep.
Is he fully healthy? And if he isn't, is he ever going to win again? Because he doesn't look like he's had it the last three majors.
Let's get to it.
Masters
coming up. Yep.
Was fantastic.
Yep.
The last three,
okay.
Not so much.
I'm with you. Great topic. We'll do that coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. You know, one thing I never like doing is betting against people that I really like and really enjoy watching pertaining to sports, unless I believe there's an easy avenue to make some money, which is what I believe this morning, which is why I bet against Tiger Woods to shoot over 69.5. That was a really easy bet. I tweeted that before the round as well. So if you saw that, hopefully you made some money. It was minus 135. Listen, here's the thing. Tiger Woods, now... And what Jimmy said about the Masters is imperative, and we have to revisit that for a second.
Right.
When you can kind of get on, you don't really have to overly prepare because you know every nook and cranny of the course, every undulation of every green, not overly punitive if you're hitting it sideways and crooked. The bunkers aren't incredibly deep, and it's just you can navigate your way around the course and almost find your game within the game or within the round. So I believe that because he doesn't have to overly tax his body before Augusta, because he knows it, he's going to perform well. Now, the question that you raised before, most times, he might have the off, you know, where putts aren't dropping, he finishes out of the top 10. But in the next couple of years, I think he's going to play well at Augusta if he's healthy. The question about, or I would say now, I don't think we should view Tiger through the prism of Augusta, nor do I believe we should view him through the prism of today. I believe the answer is somewhere in between. Not going to be this bad often. Not going to be that great often.
The problem is, BT, we keep, like, every major that's happened this year, especially because the Masters was early, we put Tiger as a favorite. And the question
is... We didn't do it this week, not on this show.
We didn't this week. Well, part of that was because he hadn't played in 3 months, and that shows it as well, right?
Yeah.
He at 43 years old and seemingly healthy... Which I'm now questioning because of the shot that we... And that was early. That was early.
The first swing of the day. If you're watching on the network, and certainly... Look at that. Yeah. It comes up right away.
That's his back, right?
Yeah.
And we know that that's supposed to be, you know, fixed, and he's supposed to feel good again. But you know what else I noticed, BT? Just looking at him, especially after he took off his outer covering.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he looks big again. Like, and I don't know if that's, like...
Muscular or bad weight?
Yes. I don't know if it's heft or if it's muscle. You know what
I mean?
He's
got a little belly, you know, for a guy who's usually, you know, chiseled. Yeah. I mean, you know, I wish I looked like that. But, I mean, he's got a little belly compared to what he used to.
It might be a little bit of both. Like, he's gotten stronger because he needs to.
Mm-hmm.
He's also not out playing every weekend. So he's not, I mean, if anybody who's walked 18 holes and then anybody who's done it 2 days in a row, or especially someone who's done it 4 days in a row, most professional golfers are the only ones that have done that. But if you've done a couple of days in a row of walking, it's a workout.
You're going to lose some weight.
Especially
in the heat if it's 90-something degrees.
He's not doing it.
Nope.
And so, like, one, he's not conditioned. Two, He's 43 years old. That's not an old man by any stretch of the imagination. But as an athlete,
yeah,
that's an old man. Mm-hmm. And so it's like the fact that we want to keep throwing him as a favorite, at least nationally, the national narrative is he's the favorite. It's unrealistic. I mean, unless it's at a place like Augusta, which he owns and knows and can get, you know, wake up on a Tuesday and go play well there, right? It's not going to be that way for the foreseeable future for Tiger until and unless, and we don't think he's going to do this, he joins the senior tour. It's a different game.
At that point, we won't even really care.
Exactly.
I mean, let's be honest. I think that
it's never going to be easy for him again.
No, it's not. It's not. I think that, you know, just to really summarize what you just said, because I agree, any expectations, again, independent of our show, because you and I did not believe he would play well this week at all. So we weren't surprised. I didn't think he'd shoot a 77 necessarily, but maybe a wobbly 73, 74, hopefully make the cut, finish 23rd, 25th, 30th, whatever. Lucky if he makes the cut at this point. Anything that we say about Tiger is no longer results-based. It's become more hope-based.
That's right.
And that's where sentimentality becomes dangerous. And listen, we all want to see this guy play forever. We want to see him play forever.
Yeah.
I've said a few times on the show, though, I haven't said it in a while, so if we have new audience members, I think you might appreciate this. I've always said that if you still have a grandparent in life, right, you feel younger, even if you're getting old. Mm-hmm. Like if your grandma, your grandpa, whatever you call them, you know, Papa, Gigi, we have, you know, all sorts of things. If your grandparents are still alive, you can't possibly be getting old because grandma and grandpa's still alive, thank God, right? You know, and then when they're no longer there, then you start to... I remember like when my grandmother died in 2000, mid-2000s, I was like, even though she was 90, 91, and lived a fruitful life, thank God.
Well, that's a blessing for you.
No doubt about it.
I mean, for you. For her, obviously, but for you. Yeah. You got good genes, man.
True. Although, if, you know, nobody has a bad back in my family. I'm the only one back. Although my uncle does. But that's from a car accident. Point being, if your grandparents are still here, it's tough to feel really old. And, you know, that's why when Jeter hung around for three more years, I would have been okay with it. And even with Sabathia to an extent, hey, the old guy's still on the team. How old can I be? He's still playing. He's still active. And as long as Tiger Woods is still out there and still looks youthfully fit, as he does, the hairs, he's going to have to start shaving at some point. He's going to have to start trimming out with the one clip. He look even younger. He's actually doing good. He's got the cabbage up there. It's all over the place. And a little kale salad where they don't give you much at the restaurant.
It looks bad.
And charge you $29
for it.
He
looks great with a hat on.
He does. But as long as Tiger's still playing competitively on the PGA Tour, how could we be getting older?
Right.
So there's comfort there. And I get it. But a lot of our expectations are hope-based rather than results-oriented. How I feel about Tiger.
Right. It's unfair for Tiger.
Yeah.
That is what it is.
You know, think about this. And you said something, and it's true. It seemed like a pretty simple statement, but like if you twinge like a biceps, you're not going to, you'll react. You might be like, wow, that hurt.
Yeah.
When your back changes,
it locks you up.
That's the facial expression that you see from him. That's the back.
Because you want to sit down, right? When your back twinges or something, like it makes you want to like stop and sit. Like I don't want to move. I can't stand up any longer. I need to sit down.
And
that's
scared
what that looked
to take
like.
Another swing.
That's what that looked
really,
like.
Really scared to take another swing. The unexpected, at least if it's like a hamstring, you know what to expect, but the back just radiates pain in every direction that you didn't even know existed before you had back pain. So it sucks.
Yeah.
And he can't prepare with great diligence. It doesn't help that it's raining. God forbid you lose your footing.
Yeah, I wonder if
he felt terrible at the range. He probably felt awful at the range.
It makes me think that now that, you know, as you think about this, and we just saw that image from his first shot, if the reason that he's been taking time off is because he doesn't feel as good as we want him to feel.
I think you're onto something there.
Like, we want him to feel better.
Yeah, we do.
But maybe he's not.
He's hinted at that. He said in his presser leading up to the Open Championship, he said, you know, I paraphrase, but he basically said, Augusta knocked the hell out of me. Like, he said, it was pretty close to a quote. He said, Augusta really took a lot out of me. And to piece together four border elite rounds and to focus on every shot and to the exaltation, everything, and it may have actually set him back. He may have almost been better long-term, like finishing seventh and maybe being more competitive. That might be a pivotal point in his career.
Yeah.
He got the win And it could be pivotal in terms of being detrimental. We hope not, but he didn't look good today at all. He looked old today. All right, T, coming up next, football at the 40. An NFL legend throws praise, ton of it, at Patrick Mahomes. Who was it? What did he say? We'll hit it after Axe Update, which is right now. Here's Rich Ackerman.
Okay, the great Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao, boxing's only 8th Division World Champion, back in the ring to take on the hard-hitting, undefeated Keith one time. Thurman, it's the World Welterweight Championship coming up this Saturday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, live on pay-per-view. Football the 40s coming up in a sec here on Tiki and Tierney. A little something on Peyton Manning. A little something on John Elway, Melvin Gordon. It's a pretty good one, actually. So I just watched the Top Gun official trailer.
Oh, part two. I meant to watch it in the break, but I wanted to get coffee.
It's good.
And?
I liked it.
And?
It looked good.
Who's in it?
Cruise.
What's he doing? He can't be like...
He's still hanging on.
As the pilot?
Yeah, he's a captain. He's a captain. In the trailer, I guess whomever his superior is says, you should be a two-star admiral by now. What's happened, son? And he's like, things happen. And he's still the rogue pilot, still cocky, still great, obviously older.
I'm trying to...
And here's the... It looks believable because he was so young in Top Gun. Yeah. I guess that was 86. You're like, is it going to translate him? Is he going to look like an old man? No, yeah. He plays the part well.
I don't remember how Top Gun ended, like his status. Like, I remember what happened, but I don't remember, like,
how we perceived him.
Remember, like, because the premise of the second one that we're talking about, and Sam to watch this one as well.
Top Gun Maverick, it's called.
Top Gun Maverick is what it's called. In the first one, I don't remember, like, if he was ascending or was he still, like, rogue. I don't remember.
No, he was ascending.
I don't remember what sets up now the fact that he hasn't ascended.
So the whole first movie was him being rogue and nobody can trust him. And then the end of the movie, spoiler for those who are 30 years late on this, he comes to his team's aid, helps Iceman out, knocks down a couple of the bigs.
Yeah.
And they come back safely. So like the whole point was like, you can't be trusted, can't be trusted. And then he's like, I'm not leaving my wingman. And he stays with them.
That's right.
He saves Iceman's ass. And they come back victorious. And there's, you could be my wingman anytime. He's like, no, you could be mine. It's fantastic.
Oh, it's Val Kilmer, right?
Yeah, Val was great.
Is he in it? Is he in the second one?
I don't know that he's in it. Is Kelly McGinnis is in it.
I haven't seen Val. I don't know what Val looks like now.
Val hasn't been doing a whole lot.
No.
Since one of the Batmans, really. It's been a while. I mean, yeah. I may have missed a movie here or there, but... Did he finish up?
My point is, how did it end, though?
But like, did he finish up with Kelly McGinnis as a love interest or just a little relationship, swing. a little romance, and then we move on? Is that what it was? Or did they get together?
I don't remember
how it ended.
See,
like,
now I got to go watch the first one, before I even go see the second one. When's it releasing, Samter?
2020. It looks great. Honestly,
yeah, him and Kelly McGinnis, the whole thing. They're playing the music. You've Lost 11 Feeling.
Yeah, no.
On the jukebox in the bar when he leaves and then he comes
back. That's early.
No, that's when they sing. Then he leaves and then he comes back and he's looking for her. He can't find her and she plays the song on the jukebox and then that's their like big moment of like getting back together.
That's right.
Yeah.
But did it last?
Well, we're about to find out.
I don't know if he's married. All right, let's get the football at the 40s. Here we go.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Tiki, one of the truly compelling components to this NFL season, and there's a ton of them, as you and I discussed yesterday, is the... next encore for Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. What does he do? Obviously sat and watched the first year. Alex Smith took notes, came out, wins the MVP year two, and he finally plays. And we'll see what he does in year three, and we all surmise it's going to be very good. If I said to you, in terms of player comparison, the absolute strongest, like most amazing player comparison to any NFL quarterback of all time that you could make to Mahomes, like the most... honorable, if you will.
Yeah.
What name would you say?
I see Favre in him.
You see Brett Favre.
Yeah.
Well, Peyton Manning sees John Elway.
Huh.
And he's
much,
what he said.
He's a much better athlete than John Elway.
You always sell John Elway short in terms of running.
I know he was a good athlete.
John Elway was fast.
But what I remember about John Elway was the end of his career when I was actually playing against him.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Doesn't mean he didn't have a beginning of a career just because you were 13 years old. I mean, he was fast. John was fast.
He was. He was a star, like a multi-sports star.
Stole 20 bases for the Yankees, minor league team, class A.
But I see Favre in Elway. And the reason I think Mahomes. I think the reason Peyton Manning makes this comparison is because of his ability, his arm strength, like to throw the ball any kind of way with velocity, depth, accuracy, no matter what position his body's in. Which is not right. I mean, it's a cliche in sports. Never throw the ball across your body unless you're Pat Mahomes or previously John Elway. Brett Favre could do it too, but he also threw a lot of interceptions doing that nonsense. So it's a really good comparison. I just honestly, just from personal experience of seeing Mahomes live playing against John Elway, Mahomes is so much better of an athlete.
Oh my God, he's incredible. You know, I don't, by the way, as much as I defend Elway's when he was young, his athleticism, I don't know if I love this comparison either. Because, you know, body control, it's imperative to incorporate that because, any slot against the grain, running this way, going that way, throwing. I mean, Brett Favre wasn't as loose of an athlete. Like, he was an athlete, and he was pretty quick and certainly tough. But, like, Mahomes is, like, almost like a small forward. Like, I don't know why I'm doing this on the air of my shoulder, this is very supple, very loose,
but
very loose-limbed.
But Elway...
I would say more Rodgers.
Elway didn't do those things either, right?
He didn't. That's why I don't love the comparison to John Elway.
He didn't do a ton of, like...
No, he didn't do that too much.
Oh, well, that's great.
No. You know what I mean? He dropped back, plant foot, 90-mile-per-hour missile. Not quite 90, but you know what I mean.
Yep.
And then he would tuck it and run, and as we saw in the Super Bowl, he ran over, and he just, you know, the whirling dervish when they finally won, and listen, he wasn't the lead player at that point. It was TD, but maybe he doesn't have a peer to compare. Like, again, I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers again. You know, Mahomes is still thin and still not frail, but small forwardish rather than power forwardish. And Rodgers was that way and kind of still is that way. There's a suppleness to it. I don't know. I don't love it either, but when Peyton Manning checks in on quarterbacks, we obviously have to react. All right. Speaking of at least before John Elway, now it looks as if he's happy. He said, translate here at the press conference. He said that, hey, we finally like our quarterback situation. It's been a while. It's tough to find somebody after Peyton Manning. And they went and picked up a couple of rocks and found nothing underneath them, with all due respect. But it looks like they finally signed their second-round pick, Drew Locke, here. Yeah. And Flacco's there for 2 years. Yeah, Could be an interesting situation.
I don't think this is quite like the Giants with Eli and Daniel Jones. I think it's actually...
I don't think it's like that at all.
How many games are you going to play before...
No, I don't see... Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't think Drew Locke plays this year.
I agree.
I think this is... I do think DeAndre Jones does play this year.
I agree.
I think this is Joe Flacco. Yep. Still got some juice left. He's a leader, and he fits with this offensive scheme that they're running out there. And I don't think Drew Locke is game ready, right? I think Daniel Jones is close, could be close to being game ready by the time you get to week, whatever, 4 or 5. Drew Locke's got a lot of flaws that he's got to fix. He's got unbelievable potential. He's got a lot of flaws he's got to fix. So if I'm the Broncos, there's no way I'm rushing Drew Locke. But if I'm the Giants,
you don't need to.
If I'm the Giants, I might be more inclined to.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair read. What complicates the Giants situation, obviously everybody knows this, compared to the Broncos situation, since we're talking about them. Yeah, they want to see Joe Flacco succeed, and whether it's a 2-year Band-Aid, whatever. I think Joe's got a little game left. I think you would agree.
No doubt.
But they've got nothing emotionally invested in Joe Flacco. So whenever they pull the plug on Joe, and I agree it'll be next year.
It is
next year. Yeah. It's not like you're sitting down a franchise icon on one of the two Super Bowl MVPs and Eli. So whenever Joe Flacco's time is up in Denver, very different from when Eli's time is up in New York. And probably that time is right now going into the season. All right. The Falcons just dishing out money like it's going out of style. No. Falcons got a lot of cash. Deion Jones, a 4-year, $57 million extension, $34 million guarantee. That's what really matters. Obviously, Grady Jarrett got the monster contract extension, so they just keep locking up key defensive players. Smart.
Yeah, it is smart, especially with Dan Quinn, his defensive-minded guy. You want to focus on that side of the ball. especially in the NFC South, which has some really good quarterbacks, especially if Jameis Winston takes the steps that we hope he takes, or at least Bucs fans hope he takes, under Bruce Arians' tutelage. You got to be solid on the defensive side of the ball. And if you look at what happened with the Falcons last year, it was all those injuries, both sides, but really on the defensive side of the ball. So they're shoring up the core where it matters. What's interesting, though, is that they give this deal to Deion Jones. They gave a big deal to Grady Jarrett earlier this week. Julio Jones, on the offensive side of the ball, is clamoring for a new contract.
But didn't they hook him up last summer?
They did, yeah. But he's clamoring again.
Well, he's got to stop clamoring.
I mean,
he is great, though, so I guess clamor away, right?
It's interesting that they're taking care of that side and not their man on the right side.
I'll tell you what else is interesting. Dan Quinn, give me a number on a scale of 1 to 10 in terms of the hot seat. Where's the flame at for Dan Quinn going into the season? Give me a number. 10 being it's in flames,
I'm
one
gonna
you say.
I'm going to say 5.
I think it's higher than that.
Really?
I think he's got a. Yeah.
I think last year he's forgiven.
Okay.
Only because of the injuries. It was bad.
My area.
They had, I think, like 10 guys on IR before week like 4. Yeah. It was crazy.
By the way, I'm not saying it's an 8 or 9. I would say slightly higher than 5.
6 or 7.
Yeah, probably maybe split it. Maybe 6.5. Sharp Tierney says 6.5. All right. No surprise here. Melvin Gordon's teammates, at least according to Melvin Gordon, they've got his back in his contract dispute. This is the way it goes. Players know the deal.
Yep.
They know he's getting screwed. They know as a running back, any player, but a running back really has a finite window.
Yeah,
that tread is shot. You know, it's different. Look, he wants to get paid.
This is unique. This is such a unique situation because he's a fantasy like stud. He scores so many touchdowns, but it's because they give him the rock on the 2-yard line. You know, the quarterback, Philip Rivers, has no ego. So when the Chargers get close, what's our most effective way to score? And without me risking a mistake, turn around and hand it off to Melvin Gordon. So he scores a ton of touchdowns. The problem, though, from Melvin's standpoint, at least perceptually from his mind, he's making bupkis, man, right? He's on his 5th-year option, and this is very different than Le'Veon Bell's situation. It's very different than Ezekiel Elliott potentially holding out. He's on his 5th-year option and making, like, $5 million.
5.6.
5.6. Yep. Ezekiel Elliott, who's not even on his 5th-year option, is making that, and next year he'll make almost 10. So it's a different feel. You know, the Le'Veon Bell comparison that we like to throw out there, well, he's going to hold out like Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell had made $12 million the year before that happened. Le'Veon had got his in a sense. Melvin's is underpaid. The question is, what will the Chargers do to rectify that? BT and I both think they're not going to do anything because this is how it works. You use up running backs.
Yeah.
You got them in the first round, so you can use them for 5 years. And if they still are healthy and young and vibrant, then maybe you give them a deal, but likely not, man.
He's going to wind up on a different team, probably.
It just sucks for him.
Yep.
That was Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
You know, real quick, Tiki, as much as we think and much of the evidence supports that thought that the bell cow's done, you know, give it a guy, you know, John Riggins, a ton of carries, 30 carries a Sunday. Walter Payton, of course, those days are over. Barry Sanders, not really. And one of those guys, at least Derrick Henry, you know, I didn't even realize this. Derrick Henry had 97 carries in the month of December last year. The most carries by any running back in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
And the Titans are saying, we're going to pound them again this year. So if you want a running back, maybe an RB2.
I mean,
maybe Derrick Henry makes some sense.
That's
a little fantasy intel here.
20 carries a game. Yeah. He's the guy there. He's a stud.
But December was more than 20.
I know.
It was basically 25.
Yeah, but he's a stud.
Yeah.
He's durable. He's big body. Most importantly, though, he hasn't been injured.
But they rode him at Bama, boy. That 1 year, I think I read 390. It was almost 400 carries.
But it's not showing up. It's interesting.
Because he doesn't play 16 games.
True.
Maybe that's where it's showing up.
True. You know, I think
I
think in the long run, it will.
Yeah.
Really, the short long run, it will. I don't think he's making the long, long run.
I hear you. Gilbert Arenas, he's always interesting. Joins us next, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.